Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ThinkBigRadio.com. I'm Ray Vision, your host, and I'm with my co-host, Nefri Amini, and you're listening to Ponder This. Ponder This is a series focusing on the art of allowing, trusting, being, and finding inner self. Ponder This will explore new ways of thinking. Through a conversational journey, we will be questioning and discussing the art of allowing, trust, being, and how finding inner self can bring us to a place of abundance in life where we can begin to focus on bigger things. So let's get ready to ponder this. Hey, this is Corey Rashawn of Doubly Productions. Our guest today is LaToya Parker. A little bit about her. Her clients benefit immensely from her diverse skills and visions. She brings with her years of experience in the area of conference producing, branding, marketing, and sales. LaToya has proven to be a marketing expert as she has launched several brands such as Unlock Your Dreams and co-produced and Recognize the Real. Her career has led her to produce powerful conferences, leaving her audiences enlightened to do more. Her stage has graced the likes of celebrity clientele such as Trent Sheldon of Rehab Time, Cheryl Salt Ray of Salt and Pepper, Beverly Bonds of Black Girls Rock, Tammy Roman of Basketball Wives, Dr. Tracy Lynn, and Queen of Fua. She is currently hosting a workshop for Black women called African Queens Revival. It's African Queens Financial Revival. Sorry about that, LaToya. How are you doing today?
I am doing amazing. And how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm sorry about that. So, you know, because I made a little group there, let's give people a little insight of what the African Queens Financial Revival is all about.
Awesome, no problem. The African Queens Financial Revival is a free community event that we do in Harlem, and the mission and the goal is to assist African queens to generate the income that they need to unlock their dreams. So that's what we talk about. We talk about mindset, we talk about finances, and we basically talk about results. What are you doing? How are you generating the extra income that someone may need to basically live life in your dream and in your purpose?
Gotcha. That's awesome. That is totally awesome. Which is really fitting for what we're actually talking. Our topic today is money and, you know, how money plays a role in our lives. And so with what you do in the community with women, this is going to be very insightful, I think, too, and kind of even learning a little bit about you and your journey through understanding what money is and, you know, what it really is about for you. So let's get started even with just the topic of money. What were you taught? What was money to you? What did your parents teach you? What did society teach you? What did your community teach you about money? What did money mean for you growing up?
Well, growing up, I was taught generational wealth growing up. My great-grandfather actually own a chain of cleaners in North Carolina and had an insurance company that he ran. So early on, I was taught to make sure you have money, make sure you have savings, work hard for money. You got to work. I was also taught to make sure that you're responsible with money, make sure you get your will done. I was taught this like early at the age of 5 years old. And then my mom and my dad was different with money. My dad worked hard for my mom for money, and my mom spent it amazingly. So I was taught both sides of the spectrum. My mom has the mindset that money comes to me easily. My father always believed that money, you have to work hard for money. You have to go to work. You have to get a job. You need to go to school, get good grades, go to college if you want to, but find a trade and do something and generate the wealth. the money, excuse me, the riches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I was taught growing up. And the community taught me, my community, which I grew up in, taught me that selling is the best way to get money. So We saw a drug dealer sell. We saw everybody sell something in my neighborhood. So that's what I grew up doing, selling things. And I always thought that you had to work hard for money.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting. What community did you grow up in?
I grew up in Harlem. On 152nd Street, yeah. Black community, a culture of Black community.
Right. Right. So a little bit, because you kind of mentioned that, you know, people in your community were always selling something, and part of that could have been drugs or, you know, all the good stuff, hats and things on the street. And,
right.
What kind of thing, you know, did you ever interact with those that were selling the drugs and also interact with those that were selling, you know, maybe some of their products or some of their crafts or that type of thing growing up? Like,
absolutely.
You know, who kind of influenced you in the community a little bit in teaching you how to sell?
My mom and my older brother, my mom encouraged me that if you want those new shorts or you want some new sneakers or you want whatever you want, you need to get out there and make your money. So, and then watching everybody on a hustle in your community, it was inspiring actually. So as a child, every day I would go outside, I would sell juice, I would sell cakes, I would sell crab legs, I would sell potato chips, I would sell anything to generate $30 for the week. So that's what I was around from a family perspective and a community perspective. So that's all I ever really knew was to sell.
Okay. Are you still there, Latoya?
Yeah.
Okay, because I dropped. I'm not in my usual location, everybody. So this is dropping me every now and then. So you keep talking. If I do drop again, I'll just try back in and say, "Hey, I'm back." So
no
I didn't
problem,
get a chance.
No
I didn't
problem.
Get. Okay, I didn't get a chance to hear your answer. Like, who influenced you?
Okay, I'll repeat that briefly. Who influenced me was my mom and my older brother. They influenced me that you want something, go out there and sell it. So that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I sold Kool-Aid, I sold juice, I sold crab legs, I sold potato chips, I sold all kinds of cakes every day in the summertime to make money. And I didn't add this, but when I used to dance in dance groups as a young child and a teenager, we had to get uniforms to dance. So my mom encouraged me to go out there and ask the community for donations. And let them know what you're doing, and you're in a competition, and you need your support for your uniforms, and that's what I did.
So you got a lot of strength coming in from your family, which is kind of it's beautiful. They knew and had an understanding of actually creating an entrepreneurial career for yourself.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think they knew that. Like that was the mindset, but that's what they said to do because they wasn't giving out their hard work and money, you know. So that's what we did. Even in the winter months, I remember me and my older brother. We were put on little shows for my mom, my dad, and my grandfather, and we had charged them $1 just to come back into the living room. So me and my brother could generate lunch money, you know, for the week.
Okay. Well, that's a strong foundation. Not a lot of homes. I'm not gonna say not a lot. Not many homes have that foundation of, you know, either you're of being taught in a sense. Either you're being taught through watching what your parents did, watching what the people in the community did, but you're also being encouraged. You know, by watching, I don't think financial education, and you giving your feedback on this, can actually be developed through watching. I think it should be taught to develop a strong financial foundation. It's something that has to be taught in the home, spoken about, and implemented maybe hands-on. We know that there's other communities And I'll mention the Hispanic community because a lot of them have bodegas in our communities. And we see that their young sons and daughters are working in the store, you know, maybe from the age of three. You know, where I used to live in Bed-Stuy, the three-year-old was stocking the bottom shelves with cans. He might have thought it was a game, but, you know, he's really working and helping out at the store. And you'd see that child grow up, and by the time he's seven, he's behind a register. So that hands-on approach and teaching them, you know, what hard work does. I can only imagine what their finances were. Were they actually giving the three-year-old, like, a stipend or something? Does a seven-year-old actually get a salary? Or are they learning the aspects of the hard work and going home and seeing the prosperity within the family? Because once you own one bodega, you kind of open up another one and another one and another one. So you move from an apartment, you know, to maybe a larger apartment, to a home, you know, possibly to a mansion, because you've built your wealth. And through the sweat and workmanship of the family. So do you feel that, let me put it this way. I'm going to ask you about the Black community in terms of where we are in our financial, not only education, but in terms of really incorporating that aspect of understanding money from a personal aspect as well as from a community aspect. Is that clear to you what I'm asking?
Can you repeat that?
Okay. Yeah, where are Blacks, in your opinion, when it comes to how we are dealing with our finances from an individual standpoint and as a community?
I think that our Blacks is dying when it comes to finances.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I think that the education is out there. I think that the information is out there. But I think that as a whole, the African community, the Black community, have such a struggling mindset, right? So I think that we are dying financially, mentally, and because we're so stuck on the day to day, right? So we're so stuck on the day to day that our mindset is only to pay for the day to day expenses. All we think about is saving a little bit of money and We don't think about the future and the allowing of money, you know. So I think from the Black community, we lost our spiritual essence when it comes to money. So therefore, I don't think that it's being revived properly. I think there are it's not all of the Black community, right? But I think majority of the Black community, that's what I believe, and that's what I see. There is a 1%, you know, that is doing amazing when it comes to generational wealth, when it comes to leverage, when it comes to the S quadrant, you know, the B quadrant and the I quadrant, as far as big business and investors. They're out there, you know. But as a whole, I think that we can do so much better. But we lost that Black Wall Street mindset, you know. So it's We have some reviving to do.
Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, I know that a lot of people in our community look towards our stars and our basketball players to give back into the community. And some do, and some can. But, you know, through an understanding, I don't know if anybody knows about the book. I think it's 40 acres, $40 million and a mule. I'll have to look it up. I'm sorry for not knowing it. But a brother wrote about, you know, that a lot of people in the sports industry and probably in the entertainment industry really don't even know how to financially set themselves up. And they're not in control of their money either. And so you're taking someone from a high school taking them to college, and then you're putting them into the pros, and they have no educational background when it comes to financing. So they go from making maybe $8.50 an hour to making $1 million or $2, $3 million, $6 million over 3 years. So, you know, that's a huge learning curve. And, you know, you also have to – it's so funny because I call it inner community wealth. We talk about generational wealth, but there's also an inner community wealth. And what I mean by that is I'm going to take a basketball player. Like, we got this basketball player, you know, he's going to be making $6 million over the 3 years. You know what, Johnny, my real estate friend, I want you to find him a house. And you know what, you know, I'm going to tell, you know, Jaquan that, you know, he should use my lawyer friend to represent him. And then I'm going to tell Jaquan that, you know, I also want him to go to my sports doctor, my coach, my this, my that. That's inter-community wealth. So you're all, it's, or what they call online, affiliate sales. And they keep that money in that inner circle. You know, everybody's got a click. Now, there's a lot of clicks in the black community, but are we also clicking financially? Are we also offering our friends, our family, businesses? Are we reselling, you know, the people in our community so that we can turn that dollar over 7, 12 times in the black community? You know, and that's one of my, you know, issues in why we haven't created the Black Wall Street or lost that Black Wall Street mindset is because we think we stopped working together. It's not that we're not working together. It's I think we're not pushing each other enough. And hence we see the fallout within our community around, you know, our financial wealth, which also builds community wealth, not just individual wealth, but community wealth. And that community wealth is where in politics you can use it, in creating jobs in our community we could use it, and, you know, that's something that we've got to really take a look at the big picture when it comes to finances and start working not only on the little picture, which is ourselves, but also looking at the big picture within our community. But I think there's also another element when it comes to money. What is money anyway? You know, what is a dollar? What is a nickel?
It's energy. That's all it is. It's the value in which you give it. It's just energy, you know, and it's tangible energy. Money, the tangible money, coins and dollars, is really no different than a candle, you know. It's something that someone put their faith in and that they want, and we give money purpose, right? We give it energy. We keep it going. So it's just tangible energy.
Tangible energy. Now, that concept, which I love, by the way, tangible energy. How did you come to getting to see money in that way?
Being broke. being broke. Not having any money. yeah, that's how you come to, you know, creativity starts, you know, and going within begins, and really defining what it is and ensuring that definition causes you to feel good, you know. So when you start to believe that a copper penny is no different than $1 million.
Right.
Yeah, guess what? The $1 million loses all that resistance that you created. That, you know, I'm striving for it. I'm trying to get it. You know, and it becomes just a copper penny. So when you manifest that, you know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
You know, because, yeah, man, it really is. Yeah.
Being broke. Okay, so broke brings you to the element of a spiritual aspect of what money really is. And I say it's a tool, but even with what you said about the copper penny, you know, mm-hmm. nickel. You know, these are elements of the earth. I mean, except mm-hmm. for paper, which is funny that the paper is a devalue of money. But when different types of currencies were created, they were created from life forms, the nickel, the copper, seeds, flowers. You know, those were used as currency. Seashells were used as currency, which were all from the elements of life. So they all had a vibration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we understood, I think, as humans, that money is a currency, you know, it's a flow of energy, just like our blood through our system. It's got to move in order to make anything happen. Like, you know,
right.
being broke, okay, you don't have anything in your cipher to actually generate flow. But you also have to see in your brokenness that you are abundant in order for it to even come to you. It's like the heart beating. So the heart pumps out, but it also pumps in. It receives, right? And so that flow, that currency of flow has to happen mentally in order to create the vibration so that if you are broke, you can receive money. Because somebody's going to walk up. Look, I said it, I think, in a Ponder This on my Facebook page, that a poor man does not chase money. He actually lays down on the ground or stands at a corner and asks for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes. Where a lot of our people are chasing, they're chasing that big job, you know, they're chasing that big dream. But, you know, if you literally stand still, everything that you want will actually come unto you, right? And knowing how to get into that mind frame, and we talked about it in the last show, you know, there's an element of meditation, an element, too, of knowing our worth. Now, if you set a worth to you and you know your worth, then you will generate that worth coming in. Your thought.
I agree. I
like that.
I agree. I think, you know, I really believe what you said, just to rewind a little. I believe that it's the visualization. I think that we grow up too fast, you know. So I really believe that we lose our essence of child, and I think we lose our essence of imagination and visualization, and always visualize is what we see. And 90% of the time, you're seeing an apartment that you don't want, shoes you don't want, a person that you don't want. So everything that you don't want, that's what you're seeing. But we don't slow down to visualize and imagine and really define what you want, you know. So we can stand still, and we can stand in stillness, right? But you stand in stillness with visualization and moving in the direction and the energy of what you want. Like if I wanted to open up a retail store, and it feels good to open up that retail store, that's when you start researching to open up that retail store. You're still because you're not moving in the direction of resistance, you know. And things will happen, you know, people will come, emails will pop in, websites will pop up, and that is the vibration of currency, you know. So sometimes we want it in our hands, in our physical hands, and it has to come from our effort. No. It comes from gifts. It comes from from people.
Right.
It comes from strangers. And I think that once we expand our mind to exactly how money shows up, I think that we'll be a lot thoughtful with ourselves.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting. So true. Hey, I don't know who's out there, but I am going to put out the number for people to call in if they're listening to this. You can call in at 909-232-9222. If you have a question, you have a comment, if you want to say something about what money means to you and how you've actually created maybe a new thought surrounding what money actually is. When it comes to you do this African women's revival. What is it about? I know you're a lover of women, in terms of progressing them and building them, and taking them to their next level. What got you started in creating the financial revival? What inspired you?
What inspired me was a goal. I had a goal with an amazing company, Legal Shield, that I was a part of. And I also realized that there was a group of women in my immediate association that had dreams, but they didn't have a way to finance them. So they were struggling to live their dream, right? And being that I produced the Unlock Your Dreams conference, I said, how can this work together, you know? How can I unlock their dreams and also revive their finances? And that's what we did last year. And we used the company Legal Shield as the vehicle to assist them, right? However, the platform was mainly about your mindset and how money is showing up for you. You know, what do you even feel about it, you know? And understanding,
right,
as my business partner would say, money is not your issue, you know. So that's how it started. It started from a goal of mine to unlock my dream, therefore to assist a massive amount of people to unlock theirs.
Nice. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We've got only about 15 minutes left to this show. You mentioned something else, which I truly love. I've been a part of your Unlock Your Dreams, and the aspect of a lot of people, well, part of some of the people is the unlocking their financial dreams, either through a career or, you know, it's funny because let me just change this up for a second. Dreams, do all dreams take finances?
No. No, absolutely not. In 2008, I had an amazing woman. Her name is Cassandra Morris. We honored her for unlocking her dream. And her dream was simply to be an amazing mom. So all dreams, I mean, of course you need money to be like a mom and all that, you know, the dots still connect. However, the dots still connect, but, you know, as far as investing, you know, upfront income, like the business mindset of it all, yeah. But, yeah, I think that you can have a dream to walk 20 miles, you know. That could be your dream, you know. It doesn't – and only thing you need is to get up and visualize doing it, so – and do it.
No, you actually need to buy some sneakers, some really good shoes. Because, you know, I think when human beings look at their lives, you know, America is a capitalist country, a very competitive country. It's about competing and winning. And I think that's really the wrong direction, because you're competing against others and not really competing against yourself to improve yourself and to build yourself. The competition becomes, when the competition becomes external, we lose ourselves, you know. But I say that to say that if we change the mindset of what money is and what it can do for us and how we bring it in based on our unique aspect of who we are, then I think everybody would be more successful, more dreams would actually unlock as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because even, you know, the mother, or it just even changing yourself sometimes might take, you know, a book or two, or, you know, counseling, or, you know, moving to a whole other state, or moving to a very serene area. And you can have all that. You know, money for me is a tool. It is no different than a hammer or a screwdriver. It is a tool to move myself from one place to another. And
right.
My thing about, you know, I think we look at it as the end all and be all, you know, for our lives. And it really is not. It really is not. And and I think, you know, once we look at money as being just a tool, we won't see it as the ruler to our lives. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think I'm gonna put this out about who you are. I know you. Latoya, I did not mention, is a business partner, a mentor, someone who I admire profusely. She is an awesome human being and a manifester of realities, and not only her own, but for other people. And what I you can do so much with your talent that it draws unto you everything that you need to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know, are a great teacher. I can only imagine, because I'm not a woman, I can't be a part of these financial revivals. But I know what you have done with your clients and through your tutelage and through your experience. And I think if anybody were to just watch, like, Toya work, if you could see what happens behind the scenes, like I do, you know that, you know, life doesn't have to happen the mainstream way. And what I mean by that is chasing the dollar, you know, going to that 9-to-5, you know, and making that money and hoping to get a raise so that you can do what you desire. But if your desire is your main focus, and I think this is something that is what you teach just by being, if you focus hard enough, everything in life will come your way. And, you know, that's really why I wanted you to have you on the show, because you live the experience of knowing how to manifest a life that you desire. And for you, money is only a tool. You know, it really is only a tool for you to acquire and do what you do. With that being said, do you have any final words around what money really is?
Yeah, I do. Money really is, we give money its power, right? So first of all, thank you for your words. I appreciate you. You too. You're absolutely amazing spiritual being, and it's an honor. I was just literally feeling that in my body. Like, it's an honor to be on this radio show with you. Also a mentor, also a coach of mine. So we have this great, you know, awesome relationship. So I appreciate you, Corey Rayshawn. My last words is just money. Money is awesome, you know. I think for me, it's humbling, though, you know, meaning that when you start understanding how currency, let's not use the word money, but currency works, you will be open, you know, and you will be receptive, right? And it's very humbling, because sometimes you may not have it in your physical hands or in your physical bank account. You may not have it under your mattress. But someone may give unto you, right, everything that you want. And that is a sense of currency. It's a current in that. It's an exchange. And so I think the whole idea of money / currency is a humbling experience, because you have to say, as you know, share with me sometimes, Corey, you have to say yes to more things that vibrates with you opposed to saying no to it, right? So my final words on money is just start understanding that you give it power, and that will increase your courage, increase your confidence, and increase your power, right? And it's honestly not that serious, you know, and I say that from a relaxed place. You know, I don't stand for the place where the person that's about to get evicted, like, you don't understand what I mean. But all situations have the same energy in which you give it, technically, you know, but it's not that serious. And the relaxed you are with it, it just absolutely comes. With that being said, I look forward to getting off this call and checking my PayPal account and seeing millions of dollars there.
Right. I feel you. I receive that for you. I feel you. So let our people know what's coming up for you. What's going on with Georgia RCC and some of the projects that you're involved in?
Oh, Corey! November 11th and 12th, we are super excited in Harlem or Manhattan. We are absolutely pumped right now. We are producing the fourth biannual Unlock Your Dreams conference, a two-day event. The first day, we are doing the exchange of money with Black Wall Street, where we have 20-plus business owners coming out, selling, marketing, showcasing your products and your services, music, fun, food, clowns, balloons, all that great stuff. You just see a bunch of Black people happy. And it's different from other expos because we are targeting Black people, you know, and that is our target market. And we are clear and focused on getting all Black people there. And then later on that evening, we have the main event, the amazing, extraordinary Unlock Your Dreams conference. It's where we honor Black and brilliant men and women from all different walks of life. And we have an amazing keynote speaker come drop some jewels on the audience. And the next day we have our executive business banquet. And that caps the amazing weekend of Unlock Your Dreams. We are absolutely fired up for the fourth biannual Unlock Your Dreams extravaganza.
Yes, I agree. I ring a few tones for that. It is going to be awesome this year. So everybody look out for that November and 12th of this year. Where can people find you?
Wow, you can find me definitely on the Unlock Your Dreams website at unlockyourdreams.info, unlockyourdreams.info. You can find me on Facebook at LaToya Parker. You can find me on Facebook under all forms of Unlock Your Dreams, Instagram, Unlock Your Dreams, and Twitter, ULYD, the number 2. More on social media, just Google LaToya Parker, you can find me. Or you can contact me direct at 718-640-0725.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here. LaToya, I want to thank you for being on Ponder This and pondering the aspects of the spiritual aspects of money with me today. Totally appreciated you being on the show, and I look forward to everything that comes your way this year and the years ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it. Everybody, LaToya Parker. Peace.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.